Please turn with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. My subject for these three verses, 1 Peter 5, verse 5, 6, and 7, is the essentials to instrumentality. This is what we may call the irreducible minimum of keys for God to bless our personal lives as Christians, but for God also to bless the church. So, irreducible minimum of keys for a blessed life. Now, as we said in our previous study, Peter spoke to pastors and elders. So, after giving these exhortations to pastors and elders, now here in verse 5, he speaks first of all to younger ones, the younger. But then, don't be misled, because it's still in verse 5, he addresses his letter to all the church, everyone in the church, pastors, elders, deacons, church officers, young ones, old ones, all the members of the Church of Jesus Christ locally. Submit and be subject to the biblical order within the local church. Oh, my dear friends, submission is a word in our world today we do not like. It is almost outdated. It is hated. But submission, according to the Bible, is a spiritual virtue. It is not a weakness. It is a spiritual virtue. But as we shall see, submission is a choice. Submit yourselves. It is not compulsion. It is not coercion. It is not like obligation. You have to do it by somebody telling you to do it. But it is a choice. But it is also an action, and it is an attitude. Oh, my dear friends, if you understand that submission to the Lord is an attitude, and it is something we do joyfully because the Lord have loved us so much, then it is not drudgery at all. It becomes joy. It becomes happiness to serve the Lord willfully. But remember, submission is the way of life for a believer, and it is good. Now, I have 6 things. We shall really skim them very quickly. As I said, these are the essentials, irreducible minimum for any form of instrumentality, personally, collectively, in the local church. So let's look at the first one in verse 5. And Peter says there, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Oh, may I just, in passing by, draw your attention on the singular, the elder, or somebody. I heard someone who said, it is never in singular in the New Testament. Here it is. So we submit ourselves unto the elder. But now let me explain that submission. There is an honor and respect given to our pastors and elders. But I have to explain that this honor and respect is never, nowhere in the Bible, because of their title, because of their office, because of their personality, because of their popularity, because of their pedigree or degrees. Nothing as such in the Word of God. Our respect and honor and submission to our pastors and elders is because of their work's sake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. All these verses are telling us that we owe unto them great respect. We owe to them double honor. And if I may read just one verse among many which are given to us in the Word of God, just one, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For here is the reason, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. What a great responsibility, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us. Verse 18. So you can see submission here is because of their work's sake, not because of their office or title. But let me push it a bit. The honor and the respect we owe to in the church from the younger ones is also towards those who are older than us in the faith. They have proved themselves, they are exemplary, and they are a testimony to us. Then we owe them respect and honor. But a third aspect is also, oh, the young ones. This is so trampled underfoot in our days. We owe also respect and honor because of age. Our seniors, oh my dear friends, these seniors, these men and women who are in their 70s, 80s, as believers, they have proved life, they have experience. I know you can be old and behave like a child, but generally speaking, we should say normally, a form of wisdom in a believer's life come with age. So we respect them, we give them honor. And that is why there should never be any form of conflict of any sort in the local church. And certainly, it should never be generational conflict. It should never be racial or social. It should never be ethical or ethnical. It should never be doctrinal. Why? Because as you read the Word of God, we have to be of one mind. We have to be of one heart. We have to be of one soul. And there is an interaction. We intermingle in the Church of Jesus Christ, young and old, men and women. We pray for one another. We offer hospitality to the young and to the old so that no one feels left aside in the Church of Jesus Christ. But remember, we also are in the local church well united, a unity in the local church, as we look at it from Hebrews, from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, we have one Lord. We are one body. There is only one baptism. We have one hope. There is only one Spirit. And God and Father is one. So these things are really what unites us in the local church. But remember, respect and honor are to be earned, never given freely. We have to behave, all of us, in a way that respect is earned, not just given because of any position we have in the church or in the society. But my dear friends, speaking to the young ones, because this is what Peter is telling us, speaking to the young ones, and you know, by nature, we young people, all young, and this is nothing against the young ones, especially at the tabernacle. And the young ones by nature are self-confident. It is by nature. We are ardent, fervent, zealous without knowledge most of time. And we dream. We have our daydreams. We want to change the world. But you see, here Peter is giving us that advice. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. A Christian young man should never be known for being an instigator or a troublemaker, a catalyst of troubles in the society or in the church. A Christian young woman should never be known as somebody who is rebellious and who does things without discernment. Is it in the Word of God? Every young man should always be thinking. And that's why Paul could say to Timothy, oh, let no man despise your youth. Flee youthful lusts, We are to run away from the things of this world. They will pollute you, and they will make you to do things that are unbiblical and which are against the will of God. As I said, a young Christian, a young man as a Christian, a young woman as a Christian should never be known as a rebellious person, but he should be known as a humble person, as a submitted person. And remember, we said submission is not a weakness, it is a spiritual virtue. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ himself has given us as an example. He submitted himself to his Father eternally, in a sense. But it was a choice from him, because he is God of the very God. But a young Christian should be known for humility, and he should be known for taking life seriously with great wisdom. So that's really the first exhortation. The first essential is the submission of the younger ones to their elders, to their pastors, and to those who are older than us in the faith, but also to the aged ones. And second, Peter now speaks really to all the church. Look at it in verse 5 there. Submit to one another, ye all. And he says, ye all. This is all the members of the local church. But my dear friends, remember, this is Peter. Who is Peter? The impetuous one, the brash one, the one who was willing to go with the Lord Jesus Christ even to prison to avoid the cross of Calvary, which was just impossible. Remember how he stood for the Lord Jesus Christ to fight for him when they came to arrest him in the garden of Gethsemane. Oh, this man now, as an elder in the church of Jerusalem, he has learned his lesson from his youth. And you know, there is the saying that goes this way: if the young knew, and if the old could. But you see, never regret that you haven't done this and that while you are still young, because later it's too late. But we want now, while we have all our fervency, while we have all our abnegation, while we have all our strength, while we have all our energy, we want to give that time to the Lord Jesus Christ in serving him, not serving the philosophy and the ethos of this world. We have a greater cause, and this should really be the focus and the emphasis of our daily life as we worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is Peter. How much he has changed. The fiery Peter is now a wise man. And he could say to young ones, submit. But he could also say to the whole church, submit to one another. And this is so important in our days. You see here, there is a reciprocal submission between the believers among saints. And that reciprocal submission among the saints is a principle. You know why? You can read later Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit yourself to one another. Again, it is repeated there. You know why? Because submission is a mark of a spirit-filled life. According to Ephesians chapter 5, what is a spirit-filled life? It is somebody upon whom the light of the Lord Jesus Christ has shined. It is somebody who walk wisely with circumspection. It is somebody who is redeeming the time. It is somebody who is out of the darkness. It is somebody who, instead of being drunk, but is filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5, verse 18. And in Ephesians 5, 21, it is somebody who submit to other believers. Reciprocal submission. And in verse 22, what is a spirit-filled life? A wife submitted to her husband. And verse 25, a husband loving his wife. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, children being obedient to their parents. You know, even a child can be filled with the Holy Spirit once he is converted, and that is seen by his obedience to his parents. And as you continue in Ephesians chapter 6, obedience, submission of workers, employees to their employers. And later, that submission is also seen in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20 in our spiritual battle. So submission, as I said, is a principle. It is a spiritual virtue. And it is not weakness, but it is a great power. And that is why the nature of true love in the church is to serve one another by taking care of one another. Meaning we have equal submission, but we also have equal responsibilities and duties towards one another. Oh, my dear friends, what is the application? No one in the church, in the local church, should feel he's so small not to serve. Nobody should say, I can do nothing. I'm good for nothing. Why? Because once you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes, even your natural talents, God takes it and purifies it to use it for his glory. But the other side is also true. Nobody should ever think that he is too big or too important not to do anything. We serve together. Everyone is given a service in the Church of Jesus Christ. But look at the third thing. So first, younger ones submitted to the elder. The second, reciprocal submission in the church for all of us. But the third one, applicable again to all, be clothed in verse 5. Be clothed with humility. No one is born humble. This is really the common denominator of all of us, everyone, every child of Adam, every son of Adam, born of a woman and a man, is a proud person, arrogant person. Oh, pride is like a deadly viper, deadly poison, venom in all of us. That is why Christ had every right, you know, Christ had every right to be proud. But everything about our Savior is humility. You can take from his birth, you can take from his incarnation, you can take from his ministry, how he didn't have even a place because he didn't come into this world to dwell. Everything. You read Philippians chapter 2, you read the four Gospels later, you can see this is the richest, the one who to whom heaven and earth belong to. But he humbled himself even to go to die on the cross of Calvary. That is great ignominy. It was the greatest shame that a man could experience in this life. But Christ went through that. Why? Because he was humble. Read Matthew 11, verse 29. He said, take my yoke. I'm meek of heart. He is the greatest humble person this world has ever known. Humility is so needed in our wild world. Humility is so needed. It is a necessity in our aggressive world. Look around us, everywhere. What do you see? Oh, we need humility. In my small life, I have never heard a non-believer speaking about humility. They hate it. And you know, in the Greek world, in the Greeks, that's why many writers believe that this word humility has been really coined by inspiration. Why? Because the Greeks and the Hellenists, they blame. This word is a blemish to them. It is a dirty word, and they abhorred anything, any form of humility. Why? Because the Greek word from which we derive the word humility actually means mud. It means dirt, and nobody likes to do dirty job. And this is why humility is so hard. But pride is like a balloon. Pride is like the frog who wanted to be as big as a cow. Will it happen? That is why pride is so antithetic with anything Christian. It should never be there. But look what Peter says in that verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Be clothed, meaning to tie fast us with a knot. And elsewhere, the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul again says, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, all these things. And above all, put on charity. So it is a garment like for labor, for a servant. Put on that garment as for labor. Humility is what keeps us in submission to the Lord and to one another. Oh, my dear friends, humility is a great virtue. Our world is not humble. Our world says you are entitled to express and to voice your opinion and to claim your rights. That's what our world is saying. But earlier, when you go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 20 and 22, the Lord Jesus Christ being vilified, but he didn't even open his mouth, but he committed himself unto God who judges righteously. And this is what we should be doing. When we face injustice, when we face things that we do not understand, oh, we commit ourselves unto our God. He never slumber, he never sleeps, and certainly he judges it righteously. That is what we are called really to do. Oh, I'm sure here Peter remembered what happened. That's why in our second reading, you remember, Peter remembered what happened in the upper room at that Last Supper when the Lord Jesus Christ clothed himself. It is the same word. He girded himself with a towel. The Master, the Lord of Lords, the God of the very God, the God in a human flesh, taking a towel and washing the dirty feet of his own disciples. What a great abasement. What a great condescendence. And he did it out of love. So we should be submitting ourselves to one another and be clothed, girding ourselves with a towel. A Christian is somebody who walks with a towel. Of course, we are speaking about spiritual humility. Oh, my dear friends, the cross of Calvary was the greatest expression of humility. While the word says, voice your opinion, the Bible says, clothe yourself with humility for full covering and total protection. But humility begins by trusting the Lord, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But humility also is believing that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And this is what is missing again in every religion in this world. Oh, may I say, Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, everything. There is pride behind these religions because they completely reject that salvation is by grace through faith alone. So humility begins where? By believing on the gift of God, that indescribable gift of God in the mercy by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But humility begins also by trusting that salvation cannot be by good works. That's real humility. So a person who trusts on the Lord Jesus Christ and receives his salvation by grace alone, that's where humility starts. Oh, my dear friends, I'm sure you don't need me to tell you, we boast and we brag almost about everything. Look at the world. Look at anything on the television. Go outside. Look at what they advertise. Everything is about boasting and bragging. And some people even brag about their wickedness and their sinfulness. They brag. They boast about it. And they tell us they have their blogs, their social media, and they want us to know how good, how great, and how proud they are. Oh, my dear friends, beware of false humility bondage. Pride is so subtle. A person can even be proud of being humble. You know that. But let me tell you, humility is not about walking around and telling people, I'm nobody. I can do nothing. Look how wicked I am. Look how sinful I am. Look how many books I have read. Look how, I spend 3-4 hours in prayer. And actually, the person is telling us those things. But behind is saying, I deserve better. I deserve better. But that is another bandage of pride. A humble person doesn't build himself up and he doesn't tear himself up also. There must be a balance. Humility says, Can I help? Is there someone I can help today? Oh, humility says, how can I serve the Lord better? The greatest humility and the blessing of God comes through doing. We do, and the Lord blesses. Pride makes us to do things for attention, but humility makes us to seek for the glory of God, even if when nobody pays attention, even when nobody says thank you. So that's great humility. Humility builds close intimacy. Who is the man who has great intimacy and fellowship with the living God? The humble person. Oh, my dear friends, in Proverbs 22, verse 4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. I dwell maybe too much on that one, but look at the fourth thing I want to put before you. Oh, the reason why the younger one should submit to the elder, the reason and the motivation why in the Church of Jesus Christ we should submit to one another, but also the reason, the why we should be clothed, all of us, with humility. It's here in verse 5 again. For God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Do you see how Peter has the same language as James, as Paul, as the Lord Jesus Christ? You go back just to James 4, verse 6. James is saying exactly the same. You know what is happening? God stands in a battle array against the proud person. That's what God does. Oh, it takes grace to submit to God, and God gives special grace and more grace. That is what, he is the God of all grace. Please don't go far. It is here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. God is the God of all grace, but the grace, the God of all grace, verse 10. Look at verse 12 again. That this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. We should stand in the grace of God. That is what we are called to do. God resists. Do you want to have God against you? Job chapter 9 says, you will be defeated. You will be crushed if you resist the living God. The antidote of pride, may I tell you, may I say this in my small mind? Oh, I could tell you that the antidote against pride is humility. That's good. I could tell you the antidote, the remedy against pride is prayer. But my context here, 1 Peter chapter 5 says, the antidote to put down any form of pride is the grace of God. That is what I need, the grace of God. And he says, he giveth more grace. James chapter 4, verse 6. God gives more grace for a person who comes to him, who draw nigh unto him. So who is the victorious man? Who is the victorious woman? The one who humbles himself before God. The humble is a winner. Humility is hard. You know why? Because we have to come down. We have to bow down. And as you know, to help anyone, you must go down. And that is why great riches, spiritual blessings, God never put them for us on high shelves. He puts them on the lower shelves so that we bend down. That's humility. And think about it. And I believe a humble Christian who stays humble will never stumble. And that is why pride doesn't match. If you match the way you dress every day, may I say to you, be clothed with humility, because pride never matched the Christian garment. It is a paradox for a Christian to be humble, because the Christian life is all about humility. So, the young ones, submit to the elder. All in the church, submit, reciprocal submission. Be clothed with humility. Why? Because God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. But look at the 15. It's here in verse 6. We shall really proceed very quickly. In verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God,
This is, you see, humble yourselves. This is something you and me must be doing actively and consciously. Don't let God do it for you. Oh, he will crush you. You will be in pieces. You will be in dust. So we do it willingly. His mighty hand should make us to tremble. There will never be a revival in a proud Christian life. There will never be revival in a proud church.
And that is why, look at the verse 6 here, says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There is a result, there is an outcome, there is a product when we submit ourselves in the mighty hand of God. His time, his plan are always the best, and we seek to learn from him. God will never exalt someone he did not first humble, abased. And you know what David said? I know many believers cannot say that. But listen to what he said. In Psalm 119, verse 67, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And he said in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. So it is good for me to be afflicted by God so that I may love him, I may cleave to him, I may trust in him, I may send him my intercession, I may love him wholeheartedly. Oh, this is what submitting myself under the mighty hand of God does in my life. But now, as I close, we submit ourselves to the Lord. Into his mighty hand, we clothe ourselves with humility. How? Very practical. Look at it as I close in verse 7. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Or you remember what Christ said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all of you, heavy, laden, burden, come. It is not just for salvation. We come to him every day. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is not only our sin bearer, he is also our care bearer. Here is God's cure for anxiety. Anxiety is a killjoy. It can make your life so miserable, especially when you are anxious for nothing. While Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything make your worries and troubles and needs be known unto God by prayer, by supplication, and by thanksgiving. We are given really the remedy. We are given the plan. If you allow me to say, we are even given the program how to crush our anxieties and to cast them away from our lives. Oh, my dear friends, this is God's cure. A humble believer cast all his troubles upon the Lord. Anxiety is debilitating. You know, it makes you to be impotent and makes it paralyzes. So we cast all our cares upon him. Giving in worry is a form of pride. I'm drawing this from Psalm 131. When you give way to anxiety, there is pride behind. So, because I'm trying to solve my problems in my way. So giving into worry is a form of pride. When we worry without praying, pride will prevail. So my dear friends, facing exams, facing trials, troubles and temptations, days of dread, conjugal matters, rearing our children, praying for a soul, seeking for a better witness, cast, it's like a fisherman is casting his net. Actually, the Greek word here, to casting your care, is exactly the word used when the Lord Jesus entered into Jerusalem. They were casting their clothes upon the donkey on which Christ will sit in entering into Jerusalem. It is the same word. And it is the same word as a fisherman casting his net. So we do the same. We cast all our troubles on the Lord Jesus Christ. because he cares for us. When we do that, look at the wonderful promise given to us. For he cared for you. He has you on his heart. Literally, that's the meaning. He has us on his heart. God is not indifferent to our trials. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear are open to their cry. He said, call upon me, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Casting all our care also is singular. Have you noticed that? It is in singular, meaning put all your trials, troubles, needs, small and big, put all of them in one bulk, and cast them, toss them upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the one who cares for heaven and earth, the one who sustained this earth, the one who cared for, who remembered Noah in the ark, the one who remembered Jonah in the big fish, the one who remembered Daniel in the lion's den, the one who remembered Lazarus in his rags, the one who remembered Hagar in the wilderness, the one who remembered Peter in the prison, the one who remembered Paul in his shipwreck going to Rome, the one who remember each one of us, the one who no bird falls without his permission. Even the hairs of our heads are counted by him. Oh, certainly, the small things I'm going through in my life, he's almighty, omnipotent, to be able to care for my needs. The world certainly doesn't care. The politicians certainly do not care. Satan do not care for my soul. But the Lord Jesus Christ cares. Upon God, it says, casting all your care upon God, meaning trust him, believe in him, and believe in him by faith. Because a man who asks with doubts is an irresolute man. And James 1 says, such man shouldn't think he will receive anything from the Lord. So upon God means I'm confident in God. I trust him. I believe in him. My dear friends, I know my time is over, forgive me, but God is closer to us than our hands and our feet. Unlike our friends, God is never too busy with other people to forsake me. He said in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never forsake thee, I will never leave thee. So submission, humility, and casting all our cares, trusting God, these are the keys, the essentials for instrumentality and blessing in our service for the Lord. May the Lord bless his word in our lives, even today. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 256.